4. Now, today will probably be the last Sunday that we'll be in 1 John until the new year. Starting next Sunday, the 17th, the Sunday of our cantata, I want to turn our attention to the Incarnation. And we'll have 2 weeks of messages related to the birth of Christ, the Christmas season. And then, Lord willing, on the 31st, we'll turn our attention that Sunday to the new year. We'll get back into 1 John chapter 4, that first Sunday in the new year. And I appreciate your prayers concerning the study. Let's read 1 John 4, 1 through 6. John writes, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. But we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." In this passage this morning, John clearly gives us 3 tests that we can incorporate, implement in knowing whether it is a spirit of truth or a spirit of error. Let's pray. Father, may the Holy Spirit be our teacher. Hide me behind the cross, but educate us. Give us discernment through the Word of God, especially in these last days when so much heresy has arisen in our time. So much is anti-God and anti-Christ. Lord, may your children be equipped from your Word to know the difference. Help us to this end, we pray today. In Jesus' name, amen. Obviously, a passage like this is dedicated to us who are his children. But nevertheless, that is important, especially as we reflect on Christmas, that if you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, well, God sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And even though this is not a Christmas message, we can't help but to pick that message up in this passage of Scripture. A few years ago, a letter from a Watchtower Society, for those who don't know the Watchtower, I'm talking about the Jehovah Witnesses, a member was very concerned about money laundering that was going on within the Watchtower Society, and the letter was later published. And by the way, you can find a lot of this information that I'm giving this morning on the John Engelberg website or M&M website. M&M stands for McGregor. Laurie McGregor, who was born again and saved out of the Jehovah Witness organization. I would like to read this morning a portion of this letter as a point of illustrating the truth in the passage that we just read. There are spirits of truth and there are spirits of error. There are churches that preach the truth and there are churches that preach error. And they preach it for many different reasons. This lady writes, and I quote, "I thought I'd tell you of an experience I had when I served as an elder in Jersey City, New Jersey, during the very first month of the change from selling books in the Watchtower to what was called the voluntary donation system. It seemed everyone and their mother decided that now was a good time to stock up their libraries. Well, I would think that'd be a good time if you just had to give a donation. Be a good time to go to a bookstore and get the books you wanted. The witnesses who rarely bought anything were now ordering. The New World Translation was a hot item. It was on tape for $100. For those who don't know, the New World Translation is a Jehovah's Witnesses official Bible. It was organized by Frederick Franz, who was then the director of the Watchtower organization, and they wanted to have a translation of the scriptures that would follow in line with their, well, I hate to call it theology, but we'll call it teaching. And that's why in 1953, the New World Translation came out. It's not a good translation, and they had no Greek scholars that translated that work. And the one that they did claim, Peter Manning appeared on John Engelberg's show and said he never saw such a biased translation as the New World Translation. But getting back to the letter, witnesses were buying up all of this stuff. Everything was being ordered. She goes on to say, and I quote, "I was in charge of the literature counter." Now listen carefully because you'll pick up what's really actually going on. The invoices included from the orders were now dollarless. There was no money necessary. However, not long after, the elders received a letter from the Watchtower Society. It stated that the society had noticed an enormous increase in literature orders. The congregation had made purchases of over $3,000, but the donations were only $500. In essence, the congregation owed the society $2,500, and they wrote to them to do so. She writes, "I'm thinking to myself, wait, the litter's supposed to be free or on a voluntary donation." She comes to the conclusion, obviously it was not. The society had planned this all out, and they asked the congregation to fund the $2,500. How can they sleep at night? It was situations like this that opened my mind to the true nature of the Watchtower Society. They are nothing but a publication house. We are their salesmen. The congregation are the patrons. And by the way, this very same truth was confirmed back in, I think it was 1984, by Laurie McGregor, who was a top official who worked in Brooklyn, New York. And she went on the John Engelberg show and confessed that she found out, after being kind of promoted into this position in Brooklyn, that the Watchtower basically is a publication company. How many of you ever had a J.W. knock on your door, want to sell you or give you, supposedly, the Awake magazine? A number of times they've offered it to me, and I'll take it so I can burn it or chuck it. And when I would not give a donation, they asked for it back. They said, "Do you mind if we take that back? So you want to? I don't really believe in giving a donation." The truth has come out about the Watchtower. Now, I use this because we discover in this passage that there are two kinds of spirits in the world. The spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You read it with me. It was the last section of chapter 4, verse 6, revealing that beyond the world that we can perceive, there is not only a physical sense, but an unseen spiritual world working behind the scenes. Not only in nations, but even in corporations. Now, you might find that hard to believe. And I don't want to keep you here too long today, but confession has even been made to the likes of Dr. John MacArthur that there is demonic beings working behind some corporations, very well-funded corporations in this country. But getting back to the passage, Paul has told us in his letter to the Ephesians in chapter 6 Verse 12 especially describes the fact and refers to the spirit world, where there is a battle going on between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. It's a constant battle, and it will go on until Jesus comes. And Jesus himself warned us to beware of false prophets and teachers, even giving us the illustration that they come among you dressed in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravaging wolves. And so the message this morning is entitled, Discerning Those Wolves. The Lord's words have certainly proved correct over the years, and especially in our time. And because they are true, you and I must develop a capacity to discern the true from the false. One of the problems the church is having today is we have uneducated Christians. They like to come to church, they like to do the music, maybe even like to serve, but they're not in the Word of God. And everything that comes our way needs to be filtered through the grid of Scripture. If you're not doing that, you're not discerning truth from error. And good night. Some of the stories people tell me and the things they believe is because they don't have a fundamental understanding of what the Word of God says. If you're born again, you ought to be a student of the Word of God. And you will not be deceived or fooled like so many Christians are being fooled today, especially in the climate that we're living today. It is to this issue. And thank God that He gave us this passage and others like it. Because God foreknew the day was coming when the spirit of lies and deceit would be proliferated among us. And yet, it's sad that so many Christians are duped in the belief in falsehoods and will give their money to organizations that are full of lies. It is to this issue that Scripture speaks. You know, John told us, Beloved, believe not every spirit. And it's an endearing term that's used here because John cares, just as Jesus cares, for the sheep. Do you know that the sheep master, or rancher we would call him today, loves his sheep and wants to protect them. Call them the shepherd or the rancher. The Bible uses the word pastor. And the desire is to protect them from the wolves. Oftentimes through my ministry I have seen the wolves come in our church. And what saddens me is that the sheep will gang up on the shepherd instead of following the shepherd. God has given the pastor a discerning spirit because the pastor is in the Word of God. There are three tests. And you oughtn't get involved in anything until you've incorporated these tests, implemented them in the situation. John says, don't believe every spirit. And believe me, there are all kinds of spirits in the world. And when we're talking about the word spirit there, it doesn't necessarily have to mean a spirit like a demonic spirit or a fallen angel, or even the spirit that God blesses with angels. It in this passage can just mean the philosophy, at the heart of the organization is a spirit of untruth. And oftentimes behind that is spiritual wickedness, as Paul mentioned. And there are times where demonic spirits are involved. Fallen angels can be involved. And as we get closer to the time of the rapture of the church, we're going to see a proliferation of both the activity of fallen angels and the activity of demonic spirits. You ought to be prepared because it is coming. To the likes that you have never seen before. There are things that are going on right now that are teaching our young people that science is on the verge of opening a dimension. Yeah, and that aliens one day will come through the portal that will be opened by these super quantum computers. Brother Juan had sent me a clip about that, and I had read it. And I thought, gee, this is another lie of the devil to deceive people into thinking, oh, see, these are aliens. Yeah, they're aliens, all right. They're fallen angels. Yes, and they do come from another dimension. Don't be duped. It doesn't fit with the Word of God. And the first test that John gives us is to check out the content. Verses 2. After he gives the formal warning to test. And by the way, the word there for a test is only used once in the New Testament. And it's right here. It is a Greek word to test through examination. Oftentimes, it's translated like it is in the King James, try. But it's actually the word in the Greek that conveys the idea to thoroughly examine. Not just try. You know how, like, you know, sometimes you buy something and you just quickly try it? Well, that's not the word here. The word is to thoroughly examine. There's a difference, isn't there? Sometimes I bought stuff that I tried and I wish to God I had a thoroughly exam. I'll give you an illustration. We just moved back into the parsonage, and one of the things that we needed to do was to wash all of the curtains that were downstairs, and we got them all washed, and we hung them all back up, and they looked terrible. And I said to my wife, let's go and get one of those steamers. How many of you ever bought one of those? Yeah. What a bad product. I didn't try it. I just believed what it said. Guess what? No good. I didn't fully examine everything about it. I got more water on the curtains than steam. Anyway, the curtains look better after you... You know, run an iron over it. Getting back to the passage. That's the content of the word. Is not just try, but thoroughly examine. Why? John warns just what Jesus warns and what Paul warns, what Peter warns. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And listen, this is in the first century. We're in the 21st century. And I believe Jesus is coming soon. And Jesus said that in the last days that there would be a proliferation of false prophets. Verse 2, test number 1. So I'm going to try to make it easy so you can remember. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God, or the Spirit of truth. How do we know the Spirit of truth? Because every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the... What's that next word? Flesh is of God. We have... A lot of teaching going on throughout various religious organizations that teach that Jesus was a wonderful man. That Jesus was a great prophet. That Jesus was a tremendous historical figure. And that is all true. But Jesus is God in the flesh. And if they don't go that far, they have not gone far enough. Amen. And that is not the Spirit of truth. You all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. He was begotten of the Father, proceeded from the Father, existed in eternity past with the Father in a relational community. And God, in the fullness of time, the Bible says in the book of Galatians, desired that Christ, the second person of the Trinity, become a man and to reconcile lost humanity back to Himself. God in the flesh. The cantata is entitled Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. Beware, because a lot of religions teach that Jesus was great. He was a wonderful prophet. He did wonderful things. They elevate Him. But they don't elevate Him to the level that He is. Philippians chapter 2, you go read it. In fact, maybe it would be a good idea that we all go there. Go to Philippians. Galatians Ephesians, Colossians, before Colossians, okay? Right in between those, okay? Philippians 2. Verse 5, Paul writes and says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the what? Form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Now Jesus is equal with God because He is God. But He made Himself of no reputation. The word there in the Greek is kenosis, or keno. To empty Himself. He emptied Himself not of His deity. He never ever stopped being God when He became flesh. He just laid aside, as it were, the glory of heaven and the glory of Himself. In fact, only once did He show that glory. It was on the Mount of Transfiguration. How many remember that? Peter, James, and John, the core group, went up to what is known as the Mount of Transfiguration, and there Jesus appeared to him in all of His glory. But He came as a servant, and He came as God's sacrifice, and so He laid aside that glory temporarily. But never once did He stop being God. But He made Himself of no reputation, took upon Himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He became a man, He humbled Himself, and became obedient unto the death of the cross. Now I want you to jump down to verse 10. God is going to highly exalt His Son, who is God. And the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. In the Bible, we are told never to prostrate ourselves before men or angels. But right here in the Bible, God, the Father, says we are to kneel, prostrate ourselves before Jesus Christ, because He's neither man nor angel. He's God in the flesh. That's the first test. Find out what they believe about Jesus Christ. Many years ago, long before I came here, I examined the Jehovah's Witness and what they taught. Found out that they believe that Jesus really is the incarnation of Michael the Archangel. Well, that don't line up with my Bible. In fact, it didn't line up with any Bible, so they produced their own Bible. The New World Translation. Which is horrific. By the way, they even lied about who their Greek scholar was to translate the Greek into the English language. It was so funny to see this on the John Engelberg show, where Peter Manning, this is before he died, he kind of chuckled because I can't believe that they would lie like that. And if their leaders are going to lie like that to the public, they're lying also to their congregants. I remember John Engelberg asked Peter Manning, "I don't know anybody who knows Koine Greek." And by the way, Koine Greek is not a spoken language. It's an ancient language. It's a written language now. And he was an expert. And he said he never saw such a horrific translation in all of his life. And how they took and made Jesus a God instead of the God. It is not there in the original. This is the spirit of error. And you can always know the spirit of error because they will never proliferate Jesus to who He really is. Amen? And that's what the first test is. Check out the content. A true teacher of God will teach that Jesus Christ is God. He's come to the earth in flesh and blood. You may recall that Philip asked Jesus to show him the Father. And in response, you remember that Jesus asked Philip if he had not been so long with him that he didn't know who he was. To which Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus Christ is not a creation of God. We're coming upon Christmas, and I'm just baffled at how many Christians believe that, well, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and that's when He got his start. What? You haven't studied the Old Testament. There are Christophanies throughout the entire Old Testament. The appearance of the second person of the Trinity. Who do you think wrestled with Jacob? The second person of the Trinity. We need to be students of the Word of God, lest we are duped. Time is getting away from me, and there is so much more. The first test is important. I just wonder how many of you, when you go into another church, or maybe you're invited, really go and find out who Jesus Christ, if Jesus Christ is being preached. Amen? And being preached correctly. If not, get back to what the Bible says. That's what you're supposed to do. Check out the context. If it's not teaching that Christ is the Son of the living God, the second person of the Trinity who exists in the eternity past, then you're in the spirit of error. Hereby know ye, John says, that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come, where did He come from? Heaven to earth. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of what? Antichrist. Whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. And there is going to be a proliferation. Matthew 24, 25, 26. Jesus said that in the last days there will be Antichrist everywhere. Until it leads to the Antichrist, which Paul talked about in 2 Thessalonians. I won't have time to get through the second test and the third test, but I am going to introduce it. And when we come back to this in the new year, I'll review. But it is so vitally important that we understand this passage in light of the times that we live. God warned His people of the danger of false prophets over and over and over again in the Old Testament as He was rearing up the Jewish nation. Deuteronomy 13, verses 1 to 4, gives the qualification of a godly prophet and gives us an understanding of a false prophet. And we are called upon today more than ever to be discerning of religious leaders and teachers, because demonic forces are very clever. And as I said, sometimes they don't deny who Jesus is. They just pervert the teaching of Christ. In John's day, you know, there wasn't any television for a preacher to get on the air and rake in millions of dollars preaching a perverted gospel, but they still deceived for money. In fact, we're studying the book of Acts, and we have seen this a number of times during Paul's third missionary journey. And that leads us to the next test. And the next test, and we'll come to it again in the new year, very important, is to check out their motivation. What motivates that organization to be there? Is it filthy lucre? Because if it is, get out. Get out. This is why I say there is a proliferation of the Antichrist. Because even on our televisions today, so many that claim to be serving God are serving themselves. I challenge you to read for yourself, and we'll pick it up next time in the new year. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Jot that down. 2 Peter chapter 2, 1 to 3. If you'll read that and ask the Holy Spirit to teach you through it, when you come back with me to this passage, I'm sure a light's going to go on, and you're going to see, why haven't I done this before? I need to check out what their motivation is. What is the mission statement behind this organization? If you become a member of our church, one of the things that we do is we take you through the Constitution and we show you the mission statement of the church. The mission statement of the church is to exalt Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God, as God in the flesh. The mission of the church is to proliferate the good news, the gospel to the world. Support missions. And this is where our money goes. If the money goes in our pocket, look out. Amen? Next time, we're going to pick this up. And again, I want you to remember that in these last days, This passage is vitally, vitally important for the church. You've got to know the three tests. The first one I've already told you, check out the content. Check out the content. When people come to me and say, Pastor, I'm moving away, I'm going to another church, I always check it out for them if they ask me. And I tell them, please get a hold of the constitution of the church and read it thoroughly. And be sure when you get into that church that they're preaching the Word of God for the purpose of God and a proliferation of God's kingdom, not for themselves. I'm going to startle you in the new year with information about organizations that you think they're doing wonders. And maybe in the eyes of the world, and that's what it says here, the world hears them. Oh, send me your dollar and we'll take care of this, we'll take care of that. They put on an image before the world and they give a penny on a dollar. Shame on them to tell you they're doing this and doing that and they're lining their pockets. They're living in mansions, not one, not two, three, four. This is not the kingdom of God. This is the accolades of men. And yet we have good Christians in their churches today that are supporting the spirit of error. God, give them discernment. Let's pray. Father, may you cause your church to rise up in these last days and be informed and to implement these tests that you've given unto us in the scriptures, that we would not be deceived. We would be faithful to the Word of God. Bless these dear folks. Lord, I want them to have a great Christmas. And may, as we embark upon the Christmas season, do all we can to elevate the deity of Jesus Christ. God, your Son, who became a man to redeem us for all time and eternity. Bless these good folks. And Lord, if there's one among us who's not sure if they die to go to heaven, may they recognize Christ died on the cross for their salvation. Save that soul that may be even here among us, closest to the gate of hell. And Lord, by your Holy Spirit, may they confess Christ, the Lord and Savior, risen from the dead, and know for a fact they have eternal life. Bless us to that end, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's take our songbook as we close our time together here this morning and go to 199. We'll just sing the first stanza of this beautiful Christmas carol. Came upon a midnight clear. 199.